This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning, and joining me in the studio, of course, is Philip C. It's 7:06 in the morning. Let's recap how global markets closed yesterday, because it was an extremely volatile day.
It was. It started strong, but my goodness, after the FOMC minutes of meeting, the Dow was down 0.4%, S&P 500 down 0.2%, Nasdaq up marginally by 0.2%. I think Asian markets were taking a cue the previous day. The Nikkei, however, was down 0.4%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Shanghai Composite up 0.7%, Singapore STA up 0.7% as well. Back home, FBM, KLCI, in positive territory, up 0.5%.
So, for an analysis on what's moving markets, we speak to Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Good morning, Shane. I think the much-anticipated FOMC meeting finally took place, and I think Jerome Powell effectively killed the dove as the central bank looks set to raise rates in March and didn't even rule out a hike at every meeting. But what does this mean for markets?
Well, it means that we've come into a much more constrained, more volatile environment. Of course, we've seen that this year with share markets under extreme pressure. So we had that easy phase, I guess the sweet spot in the cycle where economic conditions seemed to be going in the right direction, profits were rising and interest rates were still very low. Now we've moved into a phase, obviously, where interest rates globally are on the rise again. Obviously, that started with a handful of central banks last year, but is intensifying this year with the Fed joining that tightening phase. And that's going to mean a rougher, more constrained ride. I think last year was pretty benign in terms of, if you look at developed markets, the US share market only saw a 5% correction through the course of the year, very mild year. Typically, mild years like that are followed by more volatile years. And I think that's what we're going to see this year, a much rougher year. That said, rate hike cycles don't normally bring an end to the bull market in shares. You know, we've still got a global recovery which is underway. We seem to be very gradually getting on top of coronavirus with vaccines and better treatments, and the latest version of the coronavirus has been less harmful. And interest rates, even though they will rise multiple times this year in the US, probably at least four or five times, we're still going to be in an environment where monetary policy is relatively easy. So I think the broad trend in share markets can remain up, but it's just going to be a lot tougher this year for investors.
But what's your take on the separate statement made by the Fed that they expect the process of balance sheet reduction also commencing after it's begun to raise rates? We are moving now, right, from QE to QT, isn't it?
That's right. It's something that we saw following the post-GFC period. You know, the GFC saw interest rates cut to near zero in the US, and then we saw quantitative easing. The first rate hike was in December of 2015, but it was a very gradual cycle. In fact, they went on hold for the next 12 months after that. And then, of course, around, I think, 2016-17, we started to see, or 2017-18, rather, we started to see quantitative tightening. And that is where the Fed doesn't necessarily sell their bonds, but when bonds mature, they don't roll them over. They don't buy more bonds to replace it. So their balance sheet, their holding of bonds goes down. And it looks like we're going to see all of that happen a lot more quickly this time. Last time around, as I mentioned, the Fed raised interest rates in December 2015, waited a whole 12 months before moving again. And it was a relatively gradual process. And then they adopted quantitative tightening. This time it looks like we're going to see the first rate hike in March. Quantitative tightening, that's balance sheet rundown, is likely to commence probably sometime in the June quarter. And I think we're going to see far more rate hikes in this year than we saw following that first hike in 2015. So it's going to be a faster tightening cycle. Perhaps, I guess, that reflects the different economic circumstances. Mm-hmm. Economic conditions recovered more quickly. The unemployment rate fell more quickly than it did coming out of the GFC. And we've got much higher inflation, and that necessitates a return to more normal monetary policy more quickly than we saw coming out of the GFC.
I'm also curious, Shane, do you think that the Fed will actually hike rates by more than 25 basis points at each meeting? Would they even go as far as 50? Because swap traders are now pricing in a 30 basis points of tightening at the next central bank gathering in March.
I saw that. I think that's probably a little bit over the top. They may be taking their lead from Chair Powell's somewhat more hawkish comments. You know, he could argue that the statement released by the Fed was sort of in line with expectations. It was hawkish, but it was no more so than expected. And then it was Chair Powell's comments, which were more hawkish when he's referring to a faster pace of tightening. So that seems to have led to this view, well, maybe we'll get 30 basis points or maybe 50 basis points or something more aggressive in the March meeting. I think that's a possibility, but I think it's unlikely. I think the Fed at that meeting will do 25 and will signal the start of quantitative tightening. I don't think they'd be wanting to accelerate much beyond that for fear that they may upset things too much and you could end up swinging back the other way. Because at the back of the Fed's mind is still this concern. On the one hand, they're trying to damp down an inflation problem. Mm. On the other hand, we all know that some of the price rises we're seeing, or many of them, are due to the pandemic, which has led to more demand for goods and less supply of goods because of constraints. You know, periodic lockdowns mean people can't go to work, and that's affected all sorts of things. So they're also waiting for some of the dust to settle from that, which I think is a reason not to get to sort of do outsized interest rate hikes compared to what they did in the past. But they could end up in the same point pretty quickly. If they go in May and then 6 weeks later and then 6 weeks after that, they're still going to end up with a significant tightening. Albeit they may not want to do it all at once, all in one meeting.
Okay, and let's talk about the consequence of the Fed comments in markets in Australia and New Zealand, because we're seeing bonds there crashing as trading gets underway. And we just got a headline coming out that New Zealand's inflation hits 5.9%, the fastest in more than 31 years. So what's going to happen to fixed income markets following these comments by Jerome Powell?
Well, unfortunately, the pressure remains up on bond yields. We've already seen a very substantial rise in bond yields, but now in a world of much higher inflation, then bond yields at sub 2% levels in Australia and the US are too low. They will go up over time, consistent with the higher inflation numbers, and market inflation expectations need to adjust upwards. The numbers out of New Zealand, you know, highest inflation rate in 30 years, I mean, that's a bit of a concern because New Zealand led the success with inflation targeting and getting inflation under control. Of course, Australia adopted something similar in the years following. So these numbers are very high. They will put more pressure on the RBNZ. They will raise interest rates at their February meeting again, despite issues with Omicron in New Zealand. And, of course, the Reserve Bank is now likely to raise interest rates this year as well. I don't think they're going to move at the meeting next week, because the inflation rate in Australia is 3.5%, whereas in New Zealand it's 5.9%, and in the US it's 7%. So Australia's inflation problem is not as bad as in these other countries. In fact, if you look at underlying inflation, it's just 2.6%. So in that sense, there is pressure on Australia, like other central banks, to raise rates, but it's perhaps not as intense as in some of these other countries.
You know, I wonder, Shane, you know, do you think 2% is going to be the normalized rate for inflation going forward? Because everyone talks about normalizing the 2%. Is that really where we're going to land at?
Well, that's the million-dollar question in all of this. I'm conscious that for most of my career, in fact, all of my career, which started in the 1980s, the trend in inflation has been down globally. The 1970s and early 80s were known as a high inflation period. Paul Volcker squeezed it out in the US from the early 80s, and then it got squeezed out in other countries with inflation targeting through the 90s. And so through that period, we've had a sort of a downtrend in inflation, a downtrend in interest rates. The consensus became to target around 2% inflation, at least in developed countries. They then went through a period prior to the pandemic where inflation was below target for a long time. Central bankers moved a lot more dovish, a lot more aggressive, far more bond buying, money printing, delayed raising interest rates over the last 12 months. They wanted to be sure that the pickup in inflation was for real. So that approach has taken more risk with inflation. And so even though my base case is inflation will centre around target, which is up from the pre-pandemic levels, there is a risk that we are moving into a world of even higher inflation. And the basic problem beyond the distortions caused by the pandemic is that you combine massive money printing with massive government spending. And we had massive money printing in the post-global financial crisis years, But at that time, we also had fiscal austerity. Mm. Governments were cutting back on spending. And so there was no avenue for the extra money to get into the system.
Okay.
Or cause inflation. This time around, you have had an avenue. That massive government spending is providing an avenue for that money to cause inflation, as per the old Friedman, Milton Friedman dictate that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. So that is the risk longer term, that we've zooped up money supplies, and that's going to cause more inflation.
All right. Okay, thank you for your time. That was Shane Oliver, Chief Economist of AMP Capital, warning us about inflation.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.